You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
It's pretty rough, Leon, when you and I are sitting here in the studio and...
Pretty cold, actually, Hobart.
It is a bit chilly, and we get a little message in a photo from Garth, the guy who's supposed to be in that seat there.
Yeah.
But he's in Bali.
Yes, of course, because why wouldn't you go to Bali on a Thursday afternoon?
Oh, because it's work, of course.
No, it must be nice to get
so
paid to go
says,
to Bali. That's why he's the most hated one of the three of us. According to the poll that I've just done.
But, well, we are here, Leon. That's the main thing.
We are.
On the 8th of March 2018 for episode 203.
Yep.
And what have we got coming up on the show today?
Well, we are going to talk about quite a few things we've been playing lately. Something to do with a popular fiction novel.
Ooh.
Another one to do with one of the new fun party games that's out. And also, we're going to do something that we'll probably have to do every bloody week by the looks of it.
It's getting that way, isn't
more
it?
Kickstarter. We promise we don't want to talk about it every week, but my God. And also, we're going to tell you a little bit more about our competition and anything else we happen to come up with.
So we've got all that...
And more.
Yeah, and
more. Or maybe just all that.
And more, because we've still got 15 seconds of our track to go.
Okay, so we just have to...
We could just listen to this for a while.
Yeah, because the listeners have never heard that before.
No, it never gets old, does it?
No, it does not.
Anyway, we'll go to a track, we'll come back, and we're going to talk about all about... I think we might start with that popular... series of fiction.
Indeed you do.
I'm sure all the listeners are going to be familiar with.
You would think so.
Yeah. Here we go. On the Dice Men Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
No, not 1, 2, 3, 4. You are listening to the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Of course, proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Please go in there and buy all the stuff. And that song was a Tassie act that I actually thought was quite cool and quite adept for what we're about to talk about. It was a band called The Cards, and the track was called Lube Scepter.
Yeah, right. What is that about?
Well, Lube Scepter, I think what we're about to talk about, Mark, your game may have something to do, I assume, with scepters. I don't know about the lube part, but it depends on how you Google, I suppose.
Well, you know, it is a kiddie game. Well, not a kiddie game, but, you know, it's suitable for the whole family.
Right.
So I don't know there's much lube involved. But what I'm talking about today is Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle.
Now, what is your familiarity with the young Harry Potter, Mark?
Well, look, I started reading the Harry Potter books to my young sons.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got as far as maybe halfway through the fourth book.
Yep.
And they sort of lost interest.
Yep.
And I sort of lost interest.
Mm.
I think I've watched half of the first movie and about a third of the second movie because it's got a flying car.
Is that all you've watched?
Yeah.
I rate the films quite highly.
Yeah.
The film as a series is actually quite good. And I think I've rewatched it a couple of times since it's finished. And, yeah, no, I quite enjoy it. I just find it funny that it's a good fantasy story. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's so weird that certain things just become monstrous.
Yes.
And because it's no probably better than 10,000 other fantasy series out there. It just happened to get so popular. But, you know, it's a decent story, so why not?
Well, I saw something, I'm trying to remember when, but I'm sure a lot of people know this, that J.K. Rowling had her manuscript rejected by something like 12 different publishers.
Yes.
And, you know, she didn't give up. She kept trying. And look at her now. She's got almost more money than almost anyone else in the world.
Yes, but it's a good lesson out there to the creative folks that listen to our show, to which we know for a fact there are many, that just keep trying. There's never been an incident in history that I know where someone has gone, I've done one painting or one script, oh, and now I'm a millionaire.
Yeah.
No, and you can ask Dice Lady Tanya the amount of works that she's done that are probably great that have never seen the light of day.
Yeah, exactly right. So,
the game.
This game came out in 2016, produced by USAopoly, which...
Right.
As far as I can gather, the main thing they're famous for is putting out lots of themed versions of Monopoly.
Right. I was going to say the name kind of ring the bell, but I couldn't put a game to it. And that's probably why.
Look, I think they have clearly been on a winner with this one. Somehow they've managed to get the licensing, in particular to the film vision, because all these cards have stills from the film.
Yep.
Now, obviously, there weren't that many illustrations in the books, but of course, in the films, there's, and who doesn't? Except for me, who doesn't know all about these films? So they've got plenty of material to choose from.
Which is fine if you use stills straight from the start. Listen to that, Marvel Legendary or DC Deck Builder. From the start, you can use stills. Don't try and put it in halfway. It looks a bit silly and you won't get the Dice Men's money.
And so this is a deck building game.
Lovely.
And in the box, when you open it up, you've got a lovely simple rule book and you've got... 7 boxes.
Ooh.
Now, Leon.
Yes.
Do you know how many originally Harry Potter books there were?
Oh, there's at least 29. Or maybe 7.
There may be that many now, but yes.
No.
The core series, I guess, because now there's a new one. And then there's the...
Well, not really.
Amazing Creatures. And then there's the Beedle the Bard. And anyway.
That's all
but
bollocks.
In the core mythology, there's 7 books.
Indeed, there is.
So when you open up box 1, what you have is you have young Harry.
Yeah.
And young Hermione.
Yes.
And young Ron Weasley.
Yes.
And the person... who I don't even remember from the books.
Right.
Neville Longbottom,
yes. He was in the films and in the books.
Okay, so there you go. So you've got, it's a 1-4 player game.
Yep.
Those are the 4 characters you can play.
Makes sense.
Now, I do understand, and I'll talk a little bit more about the expansion, but in the expansion they added Luna Lovegood.
I thought she might be the one. I thought it was either her or young Draco, but he'd probably change the game up a bit, I think.
Well, no, because... he's one of the first villains. So what you've got is you've got, in any deck builder, you've got your own deck. And the decks are a little bit different in this for each of the characters. So you've all got a very basic spell. I can't even think what it is. But you've all got about 7 of those cards in your hand.
Yep.
Which just give you like 1 of the monies to spend and buy new cards.
Uh-huh.
But then, for example, Hermione has a cat. And she has some other things I can't remember. Harry has his invisibility cloak.
Yep.
And he has his owl.
His owl, yep.
And then Ron has Birdie Bot's every flavoured beans.
Yes,
and some other stuff. So you have a little bit of flavour in your deck to make it different from the other characters.
Yes.
But apart from that, all the characters are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a deck of cards, the Hogwarts cards, that you can buy. So you have... like Ascension, you have sort of 2 types of currency in this.
Yep.
If people know the Ascension deck builder, you've got, I don't even know what they call it, but it's basically money, coins that you use to buy new cards. And you've got lightning bolts, zappies we call them, which you use to do damage to the enemies.
Okay.
And then you've got, so in the base game, you've got 3 enemies. I think one of them is Draco Malfoy.
Yep.
One of them is his 2 fat offsiders.
The 2 thug guys, I can't remember that.
And... The other one is Squirrel Man or something. He's got a funny name.
I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the first one.
Yeah, so he's like the teacher.
Yes.
So what you're doing in this game, just like any deck builder, you're drawing your hand of 5 cards. You're using it to buy new cards and to do damage to the villains. And as I said, you start off with very simple cards, and then the cards will get a little bit more complex. And you've got spells, you've got items. Things like the Golden Snitch and your, can't even remember the name of it now, but like the Sorting Hat. I was trying to think of the broom, the Nimbus 2000 or something. Yeah.
Yep.
And then you've got allies. So you've got Hagrid, you've got Dumbledore, you've got the teachers and things like that and other friends to help you.
Makes sense.
So you've got a few of those in the first game. You've got 2 locations. The bad guys, the villains, so you're playing cooperatively against the villains, and the villains are in the game. The bad guys are trying to take over these areas, and they put these little metal, like Death Eater tokens on these areas. And if they fill up all the 2 areas, you lose the game.
No, it doesn't sound good.
There's also the villain cards, and the villains have a certain amount of health.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is, with your cards, as well as buying new cards, you have this zappy... money that I mentioned, like zaps, lightning bolts.
Yep.
You are zapping the bad guys, and you have to zap them for a certain number of points. Then you kill them. The next one comes. If you kill all the villains, and it starts with 3, before they take over the 2 locations, hooray!
Oh, you've won.
You win book 1.
Hey.
And then you get to open up Box 2. And so Box 2 will add more Hogwarts cards, new locations,
yep,
new villains, get a little bit more... Not complicated is the right, but you might introduce one more mechanic.
I was going to say, I'm surely as you would move along, more things would get a bit stronger, maybe a bit more complicated, yeah, especially as the characters grow up and
cards get more expensive. So then, yeah, without wanting to spoil too much, because obviously in book two, you've still got your little character card that shows little baby Harry from when he first went to Hogwarts.
Yep.
Well, in book three, spoiler alert,
yeah,
you get a new picture of Harry where he's a bit older.
Yes, puberty kicked in during that time.
That's right, all the other characters. And the nice thing is now on their sort of little card, not card in your deck, but your sort of starting card where you keep an eye on your health, you've now got a special ability, each a different special ability.
Ah, and between the rounds or the different years of this game, do people change up their characters or do you stick with the same one kind of
start? Generally it's like you're telling a story through the books.
Okay.
So if I'm Harry in book one,
yep,
I want to be Harry all the way through. I actually was playing Ron.
Right.
My son was playing Harry partner was playing Hermione and that was all very nice.
I was going to say, who draws the short sword and has to be Longbottom? Well, is there a mechanic in the game for, you know, rock, paper, scissors tournament? Whoever comes last gets Longbottom and then you can pick the rest yourself.
We had three of us playing. So you can play solo or up to four.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I said, in each box, you're introducing new Hogwarts cards you can buy, new little wrinkles, new allies, new items that come from that particular story, the villains from that story,
yep,
new little mechanics. In box four, you get this sort of bit more crazy thing that I'm not going to spoil. It's different, but you can see box four's got a big box.
Well, I was going to say, the fourth book or movie or whatever you want to have is the Goblet of Fire, which where they have the big tournament. I believe that's book number four. So lots of different little characters come into it and all that kind of craziness stuff comes into it. So that kind of makes sense.
And then it changes all right up. I've only got up to the start of game four at the moment, yep, but I imagine that, you know, it's going to just keep introducing new cards.
Have you played with just all three of you every time so far? You haven't played with different numbers?
No.
Because I'd be curious to see, because the thing with deck builders, I'm always curious to see how well they stack, like with the player numbers.
Yes.
Well, like something like Marvel Legendary, which I've harped on about many times. It's amazing game, one of my favourites ever at 2 to 3.
Yeah.
But after that, the game kind of doesn't really compensate for it, and 4 to 5, it is nearly unplayable. You just get trounced, and it just makes it not as fun. So
this one is the maximum of 4.
Yeah.
And each turn you basically play, you reveal, there's a stack of what they're called dark arts cards.
Yep.
So they go first, and they will do a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the villain may or may not have an ability that triggers. Different villains have different abilities. Yep. And then you take your character's turn. So I guess there's a bad guy turn and a good guy turn, like there is with Legendary. Mm. I guess we've only played at 3. I don't know that would really ramp up, but there have been some funny little things. Like there was one particular bad guy that wouldn't let you draw extra cards on your turn.
Okay.
And then there were, at any time you've got 6 cards out you can buy, and then when you buy those, new ones get flipped over.
Yep.
I think we had 4 out of the 6 cards were abilities to let you draw new cards on your turn. So that villain basically cancelled out any of those cards. And probably my first little complaint, there's no mechanic to wipe the slate clean and bring out 6 new cards. So we just got stuck with those ones. That was a bit of a pain.
Yeah, well, some deck builders have that, some don't. It's kind of,
yeah, and then the second one, which I think is a common complaint for me in deck builders, because I am a huge deck builder fan, I'm saying that word very carefully, is the thinning mechanic, the ability to, most of them call it trashing, so to get a card out of the game, basically. Because, you know, you start with those vanilla cards.
Yeah, and 5 or 6 rounds later, you don't want them at all.
No, they're you know, oh, great, I get 1 coin. And then, I get 1 more coin.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, in the first box, Dumbledore, who's awesome, who gives everyone stuff all in one go, he costs 8.
Right.
But I think the 2 times we've played, the 3 games we've played, even in the more advanced game, when you're getting more money,
yep,
it's really hard to buy a card worth 8. You know, most of them are sort of 4 or 5, maybe 6 for the really good ones. Because there's no way to thin out those that spell, I can't even think what it is,
yep,
that just gives you one money.
Yeah, which makes it harder to get the different combos going, which is kind of the heart of what a deck builder is, to get those cool combos. But if your deck is all clogged up with all these crappy cards.
Now, the exciting thing is I did watch a review tonight of the expansion.
Okay.
So there's a Monsters expansion.
Righto.
So firstly, it adds, wait for it.
Right.
Monsters.
Shocking.
So you can play with the monsters as well as the villains. And apparently there's four more boxes in this one.
Okay.
And it's meant to be played after you've played the seven. So it's almost like you get another four games out of it.
Oh, that's
of course
cool.
You can play these things over and over again.
Yeah.
It also adds more different Hogwarts cards, but apparently it does add quite a bit of deck thinning.
Ah.
Which you want, I think, by the time you've got that many, you basically, at this stage, you've got all the cards of the whole first series in there, so you want to be able to thin them out a bit. So that's exciting.
Yep.
It does say on the book, and it's funny, actually, I didn't notice it until I actually pulled this book out tonight to refresh myself with the rules, that it says, hey, if you're an advanced wizard, if you feel comfortable and you're familiar with deck building games, we recommend you proceed directly to game three, which I get it, but part of the fun is, oh, I start off with little Harry and he's not very powerful and the spells aren't really powerful. Oh, we feel like we're struggling, but yay, we beat the bad guys. We just made it. Let's see the new cards from deck two. And look, I have played deck builders since Dominion, since Thunderstone, since Ascension. And yes, they were very, this one was very vanilla at the start, but I still liked it because you were growing the story.
Yeah.
From the start.
I was going to say, it's not a bad thing that they put there, but they probably should just word it better by saying that, you know, if you found your first couple of, you know, games, you know, a bit easy, well, don't worry, because in the third one it gets complicated or ramps up. But don't ever tell anyone in a story-driven thing to jump ahead. It's the same as when I lend somebody a graphic novel and they open it up to the middle of the book. I just close it straight in front of them going, what the hell are you doing? Look at the first page if you want to look at anything. Don't be jumping in the middle.
Yeah, so I get, you know, this is going to be quite basic if you played a lot of games. But you're right, it's all about the story and it's about how it unwraps, how you see those really early villains, you go, oh, we just beat them. And then you see the next one, you go, oh, my God, how are we going to beat them?
Yeah, so how does this stack up against all the other deck builders out there?
Well, look, I'm a deck builder fan. I just recently got a hold of A Study in Emerald, which is another deck builder. In fact, just today arrived my copy of Hardback from Tim Fowers, and I'm really excited about that one. So I am a huge deck builder fan. Garth's got the new Thunderstone coming soon. I've got all the old Thunderstones.
And that new Clank. We still have to get around to playing Clank in space, which we haven't got around to yet, but that, even the new Clank expansion, the one, the pyramid one, that looks really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, I love my deck builders. I have had a lot of fun with this, and it's been great playing it with my partner, who's sort of newish into games.
Yep.
My son, who's not super into complicated games, he's sort of happily played along with this with us. I've enjoyed the story. I'm looking forward to when it gets more complicated.
Yeah, but for them, they're probably enjoying the fact that it is simple and that they can enjoy the ramp up into it, which is probably what you want with a game like this.
Yeah, and I've actually seen a lot of comments about, oh, people are using this game to get their partners or their kids who haven't been playing games but who love Harry Potter.
Yep.
It's a introductory level that sort of leads you through the journey into gaming. So I think for that, it's perfect.
So, because it's a co-op and it's story-driven and it is based at a younger audience.
Yeah.
So you can't really lose when it comes to that kind of. It's almost like a Mice and Mystics type of thing.
Yeah.
You can't really lose.
And I'm just showing Leon, what you've got in this rule book is at the back, you've got these little holes where you slip in the rules for like game two and game three and game four. Because
that's
don't really try and transform the game hugely from each level. But over the course of seven different games, I imagine it's going to transform quite a bit. So I'm really enjoying it. It's really lovely production values. All the pictures from the movie, so you'll love that. So look, if you like Harry Potter or if you like deck building games and you've got other family members who like Harry Potter, I think this is a really great thing to get people into.
Yep.
I said it ramps up the difficulty nicely. And, I mean, the great thing is it's not legacy, so things don't get destroyed. So I've already said to Garth, whose kids are just starting to get into Harry Potter, hey, I'm going to put all this back in the boxes, and there you go. Start from scratch.
Lovely. That sounds
although
good.
I'm also looking forward to playing the expansion, perhaps.
Everybody wins.
So there you go. Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle. I think we've it's certainly thumbs up from me.
Yep. I'd like to try it.
Yeah,
that's something.
I'll certainly lend it to you, Leon. Absolutely.
Indeed you do.
That's that. Let's go to a break, And we'll come back and we'll maybe talk about another game we've been playing.
Possibly.
Right after this. Maybe. that was Hansel and Gretel here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with their track. So I take that back. Whalebone with their track called Hansel and Gretel on Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men Cometh. And again, we got to thank Area 52 so much for supporting us. They are the amazing little, not so little, store 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, with comics and graphic novels, manga. I think they have DVDs of manga as well, but board games, all your collectible games, posters, T-shirts, books, all the Harry Potter books are there.
Indeed, and I was lucky enough to get a gift card from work just because I'm pretty awesome. So I'll be going in there tomorrow with $75 to buy myself a new board game, I think, because it's been too long.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So the other thing, just before we start on the game that you've been playing, Leon, is we had the fourth
indeed
ever geek quiz here in Hobart. Now, of course, long time listeners may remember last year the Dicezilla team, made up of some people, Leon, from the Dice Men Cometh, and some people from ABC podcast Nerdzilla, who are also friends of ours here in Hobart. We won after, I think we came second the first year, third the second year, first last year, as we said. Well, this year, we came equal third, which then we lost the tiebreaker, so sort of means fourth.
Yeah, a little bit.
And, Leon, where did your team come?
We come right behind you in seventh. But realistically, we were like 5 points behind you or something, so it was a pretty good effort on our part, I think.
It was a very close quiz, actually.
Yeah, except for the team that won, because the team that won were, what, 11, 13 points in front of the team that was second?
Quite a long way. And no surprise there.
Yep.
Listener of the show, Rob Torres.
Yep.
And another friend of ours from the Hobart Game Society, Steve.
Yes.
You're Steve. Yep. You're so smart.
Mm.
And one of Steve's kids and a few other guys, they smashed it out of the park.
Yeah. Once we kind of saw them together, we went, well, this is kind of academic from here, isn't it?
Yeah, not normal brains.
But either way, it was good times had by always, the quiz always is. And you even won some stuff in the raffle, didn't you?
Oh, I did. But let's not talk about it because...
Yep.
Maybe I'm reselling those games right now on Facebook.
Because maybe I have a copy of it, even though it's an awesome game.
It is. Now, Leon.
Yes.
We played this game that you're going to talk about a little while ago.
Yes.
Had a lot of fun with it.
Yep.
Even posted a little video on Instagram and the Facebooks.
Of me looking confused, which is always good. Everyone loves that. So what we're talking about here is When I Dream. So it was originally brought out by Draw Labs Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a new version by Repose Productions, but the difference between the old version and the new version was like, I don't even think it was a year. It was like 9 months.
Oh, really?
Between the old version and the new version. But when you hear the differences and you see the differences, it literally makes a world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So designer by Chris Dusk. Kalis, I'm sorry, that's a hard name to pronounce. And over 20 different artists, including, now watch me butcher these. Now, Vincent Dutrait, we know him.
Yes.
Cyril Nouvelle.
Yes.
Christine Deschamps.
Yes.
And Miguel Cumbra.
Oh, yes.
As well as 16 other people. That there's heaps of different cards for this game, because we might going to tell you, it's very similar to kind of Dixit in its art type of style.
It does have a Dixity look, yes.
And, well, that being said, it means it's got some of the coolest art you'll absolutely find.
Yes.
Including the cover for the game. So, it is a magical party game for 4 to 10 people.
Ooh.
That takes no time to learn, which I agree with, and is very easy to play, which I also agree with. So, at the start of each round of When I Dream, one player takes the role of the dreamer, and they fall asleep. And by they do that, they actually wear a cloth sleeping mask.
Oh, and it's such a beautiful sleeping mask.
That comes in the game. It fits. It's one size fits all. It's a nice fabric, and it's got a cool little bit of art on it, so everyone should enjoy. And the other players are secretly dealt their role cards, determining what spirits they are to help the person along with their dream. There are good spirits, there are naughty spirits, and then there are trickster spirits, which is the real... the real kind of fulcrum of this game, because if they were just good and just bad, probably wouldn't work. And these tricksters we're going to talk about more, because they make this game completely. So the whole round lasts 120 seconds, in which the spirits are drawing dream cards depicting different special elements of the dream. and they're trying to describe them to the dreamer, the person wearing the mask, but they're only allowed to use one word.
Mm.
So they will say just one word each, and then it'll move to the next person, but it keeps going around. It's not you all say one word and then you stop. You keep going and going. The dreamer is their job to try and guess at any time. And once they guess, again, they get to say just one word guess.
Yes.
You don't get to have a second crack. And when they say that word, nobody's allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to give any indication of whether they were correct or not.
That's one of the hardest parts, because you want to like either burst out laughing or go, depending on in which sprite you are, go yes or oh no. But you have to be deadly silent.
Yes. And then the spirit will take that card and they'll either put it on the naughty side or the good side, depending on whether they did correct or not. And then you pretty much do that for 2 minutes, which is just fun and hilarity.
Yes.
And then at the end of the round, the dreamer, they will get a point for every card they guessed correct, which is on the good side, as well as the good spirits will get that as well.
Yes.
Now, the good spirits are their fairies, what they're called in the game. Then there's the bad spirits, which are... What are they called again? I can't remember.
Is it the sand... Is the Sandman the bad thing?
I think the Sandman's the tricksters. Anyway, we should really research this better. So the naughty spirits, they get 1 point for every one that you got wrong, right? Which makes sense. You're thinking, okay, so everyone gets to say a word. The naughty people are saying words that aren't right,
yes,
trying to get them to steer to the correct image. The good ones are trying to say the right things. And then you've got the trickster in the middle. And what the trickster wants is those two piles of correct guesses and incorrect guesses, they want them to be as close as humanly possible.
Yeah, so they're flip-flopping between...
They are the swing vote.
Telling you the truth and telling you porkies.
And when people are saying these words, like the bad guys, you can't just be saying, say it was a beach that we're trying to get the dreamer to guess. If the bad guy just says something like...
Sand.
No, the bad guy wouldn't say sand.
No.
The bad guy could say something like croissant, and then the next three people say sand, water, shark, and then it's back around to the bad guy, and they say kitchen table. It's going to be pretty obvious that they're telling porky pie. So they want to try and say the wrong thing, but not so that they're completely obvious.
Yes.
And then the tricksters, because they flip-flop between being a bad guy and a good guy every time that score changes, because they want to try and keep it in the middle, it's kind of hard to pick who is who.
I remember one where it was like a gorilla or something. The first person said, monkey.
Yep.
The second person said, banana. And then I said, grapefruit. And then you're like, hang on, there's two fruit clues and there's one non-fruit clue.
Yep.
Maybe I should go with the fruit. And just, that was so much fun. It was fun to be, it was fun to be the bad person, because you try not to be too bad, but it was fun to be that person who's flip-flopping, because the person in the mask is trying to go, okay, I think Leon's telling me the truth, so I'm going to believe anything he says this round.
Yep.
But Garth, he's out of left field one time, and then he's right. Oh, maybe he's the flip-flopper. Now, is this one of the times he's telling the truth or one of the times he's not telling the
truth? It's quite good, because those roles that you play, being if you're the dreamer with a mask on, it's fun. If you're any of the other roles, it's also fun, which I've enjoyed playing all of them for various different reasons. We did have one game, though, where I can't remember who was playing, but I think two people in a row, I could clearly tell that they were the bad guys, because they were just saying utter nonsense, and then it was like two people in a row were saying identical things. I went, well, I think I know who's who.
Now, this game plays up to quite a large number, doesn't it?
Yes, it plays between 4 and, I want to say, 10 or 12, I think. So it can go up to a huge amount, and the different 4 to 10, sorry.
Yeah.
And the different player count, you have the different selections of roles.
Mm.
So I haven't written it down here, but by the time you get to 10, it'll be something like 4 good guys, 4 bad guys, 2 swing vote trickster type people, and then you kind of go from there. So every different group you can play this with, there's a different dynamic. We played it with 4, and I found that completely fine, because... Well,
the thing is, you don't just have 4 roles to choose from. I think you have like 5 or 6, so you don't know which of those roles are left
and
out.
Yeah, one gets left out per game as well. But also, at the end of the round, the dreamer has to keep their blindfold on, and what they have to do is they have to try and tell a story. They have to try and tell their dream. So what they have to try and remember is the single words that they said when they guessed the cards.
Yeah.
And then they have to try and weave that into a story of this dream, which always is insane.
Yes, and
obviously
hilarious.
And if they get all of them... If they remembered all the words that they were correct, that got put on the good side, they get an extra couple of points as well, and on top of those cards. So everyone can score points pretty equally.
Yes.
And the rounds work in this, that everyone gets to be the dreamer once, and then that's the end of the game. Or you could play it like we have a few times. Well, let's just do another round and get round to the first plane. And you can just keep going back and forth like that.
And it's certainly what we've seen is the points are always really close because you're always swapping the roles around. It's not like you can get good at being the bad trickster, because one round you might be the bad trickster, then the next round you're going to be the good trickster. The good person, then you're going to be flip-flopping, so you never can really get in a groove. We've had a heap of fun with this.
We certainly have. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story, because these guys, when you have a new game out, they were planning on doing demos at game stores and using publicity and things like that, because you can show videos of people playing this, and it is a whale of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, spoilers, we like it. Anyway. So what they did is that they basically all sat around and said, what can we do that's slightly different? What can we do that's slightly magical? And apparently their accountant walked into their meeting and just said, oh, why don't we just, I don't know, send the game into space or something. And and everyone went, And then somebody got on their phone and started Googling it and went, by the end of that meeting went, you know what? We could actually do that.
Oh, no.
Yes. So realizing it wasn't insane, they set up to get some permits. They got the go-ahead. They contacted a ballooning / space club. And on the 13th of July, 2007... they got on the roof of Repos Production in Brussels, strapped some cameras to a giant balloon and a GPS, and fired it straight up into the stratosphere.
Oh, wow.
It took nearly 2 hours going up at 33 kilometers high.
Wow.
It burst, and the whole company was there tracking it. They all jumped into cars.
Yeah.
Actually, at the time that it burst, they were all in a McDonald's waiting for it to burst. 20 people there ordering lunch, and they all ran out midway through ordering because it had burst. It descended at a velocity of 200 kilometers per hour and landed in Alua near Luge, which is 92 kilometers away from their office.
Wow, that was a bit of a drive.
Yeah, 40 minutes later. So that's what these guys did to help promote this game.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so that's something that I'm sure that company will never forget. And now as a story, I know it's something I'll never forget.
Did you say they had a camera on it? I wonder if there's some online video.
There is. There's a whole little mini documentary
like
showing this
video
on their website. That goes for about 15 minutes. It shows the original idea and how they did this. So the game itself, the components for this game are A+. They are absolutely top notch. The cards that you have in the middle of the table, they actually sit on a plastic bed.
Yes.
And there's a bed head on it because each card has two different words on it, and then there's a picture in the middle that puts those two words together.
Yes.
Which is just amazing. And then on the back of that card is another two words and another picture. So you've got a deck of, I think it's like 100, but then straight away you've got 400.
Yeah.
Which is just, that's the way to do it in a game like this. And yeah, you've got this little bed head that you cover that over the word, which is cool. The art, you know, is kind of pointless, to be honest. You don't actually need the art. You just need to know the word.
Yeah, it's a bit like, mental blank.
Okay.
What's that? Guessing backwards and forwards, one with spies and stuff. Code names.
Code names. Except that code names pictures is better than the one with the words on it. But that's beside the point. So, yeah, the art is awesome but kind of unnecessary. Yeah, and as I've gotten written here, you know, you can't have two good guys, two bad guys. It looks way too obvious. You kind of need that swing vote, which we were a bit unsure of at first, but I looked at it a bit closely, and after I did a bit of research, the math kind of worked out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's two different versions of this game, if anyone out there is interested in it. The newer one is in a white box, and that comes with the bed, a custom insert. The insert for this game, there's not heaps of components, but the insert is, again, absolutely top-notch. It has double the amount of cards, all that kind of stuff. I recommend it highly. I think behind Rising Sun, it's my game of the year so far.
Oh, wow.
Well, to be fair, we probably haven't played heaps at the moment. I absolutely love it. And it's a great party game that it's going to stay in my collection. I cannot imagine ever getting rid of it. And I can't recommend it highly enough.
It certainly fills that Dixit niche. Not that I'm ready to chuck out Dixit.
No, I've still got Dixit. I've still got Mysterium. I've got the expansions for all of them.
Yeah.
They are not going anywhere, and neither is this. But they're three games that I could play with family, friends, children's, adults for years to come.
There you go. Well, that's When I Dream, another thumbs up. We are so positive tonight without Garth.
Yeah.
Maybe we're onto something here.
Maybe we can call him and get him to show some negative things on the phone, but he's probably drunk by now.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll be back again shortly. Thank you so much, Area 52. We're going to talk about all the hotness on Kickstarter.
Indeed. That was Truss Punks with Leaving Room for the Lord on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We've played some absolute bangers tonight.
I don't know if I do Truss Punks, though.
Well, they are a bit punkish, that's the thing. But that was not a bad track.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
And anyway, and of course we are brought to you by our good friends at Area 52, who I will be going in most likely tomorrow to help purchase a game. They're always there to help me out.
Awesome.
Yes. So we're going to quickly, before we talk about all the money we're going to make you spend, we're going to talk about all the money we're going to save you on our competition.
Oh, yes.
That we've talked about for the last few weeks. Now, it is going to end. We're going to draw the winner on next week's show, which is the 15th.
Oh, yeah.
So entries for this will close on probably, say, the Wednesday, the 14th of March.
Yes, definitely.
So what we are doing is we're giving away two of the hottest tickets in Australian board gaming at the moment, two tickets to BorderCon,
yes,
which we will be attending. And the way you enter is you just have to tell us by word or by video or by your lovely voices, any way you can get it to us, by expressive art, I don't mind, or even a dance. Why not? Get some dance videos in there. What game you would like to play with the Dice Men at BorderCon and why? And keep in mind, an extra little present, if you have that game or it's there, we'll actually do this as well.
That's right.
And we've had some absolute belter entries so far. We've had quite a few, which is awesome, but the more the merrier. Bring them in. It's always going to help. So the way you can do that, by sending us stuff. You know by now, if you've heard this show many, many times, we've got our Instagram, we've got our Facebook, we've got our Twitter, we've got our website, we've got our email at dicemencometh@gmail.com. Get all the stuff to us. Facebook's probably the easiest one. That's the one we check every day. And just send in all the stuff, because we would love to see each and every one of you, but two of you especially.
Yes, absolutely. So now, I was about to go, but it's not news. It's Kickstarter.
Yeah, which we don't use the song for anymore.
No, because I always forget to bring it. But so I covered most of the Aussie Kickstarters last week, but there's one new one I'm going to mention. But interestingly, firstly, War of Supremacy, it's the little game that almost could. It's at 63% with 15 days to go. I'd love to see this one get there.
We have played it. It is good.
Yeah. So it's still worth checking out. Now, last week we mentioned Castles of Kalira. We had played it in the pub, and we sort of talked about, you know what, $24 plus $12 shipping for an 18-card game was just a bit too much. Well, I don't know whether they listen to this show.
Of course they do.
But almost straight after the show, it was pulled, and now it's back on.
Yep.
Two versions.
Okay.
So I've got a version in a box.
Okay.
Still $24.
Righto.
Free shipping anywhere in the world.
Straight away, 33% off already.
Or a wallet version. So instead of being a box, it's in a little wallety, plasticky thingy.
Yep.
$15.
Beautiful.
Much more in the direction where people are going to go, I think. It's only about a third of the way there after a couple of days, so they might be on the right track. So check out Castles of Kalira. Got some really nice art. It's, you know, it's definitely in that love letter sort of mini game world.
Yep.
We had a bit of fun with it.
Yep.
But it's certainly now in the in a price bracket where it's worth considering.
It's something we could recommend now.
And now, the new big one from Australia.
That's us.
Is, of course, the board game Australia, which is the new Martin Wallace game.
Yes.
Produced by Shulmill. We were so lucky to get a preview copy of this, and we played it quite a few times. And
yes,
if you want to hear us go on about it for about 25-30 minutes at least.
Longer than that, I think.
Yes.
It was on, yes,
episode 200, yes, where we had all our little sound clips and we had our two-hour episode.
Yep.
We talked all about it. So if you want to know anything about it, go there. This is on there for $69 New Zealand, which is about $6.90 Australian, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Actually, not really.
No.
It's about $64 Australian plus $20 shipping.
That's beyond reasonable, I
think. Yeah, it's, and it's already 200% funded after, like, I think only 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, we've already prattled on about that one for ages and ages. Check out episode 200 if you want to know. There's a link to episode 200 even on the Kickstarter page. Martin Wallace, Australia, and it's Australia. Mm. Check that one out. Now, again, I mentioned very briefly last week, Leon, and you were sitting on the edge on this one. It's Cashman.
Yeah.
They're now up to $2.7 million.
Mm.
Still 23 days to go. And Backer Tracker, which is the one I trust more than Kick track or whatever it's called, tells me it's going to go to more than 4 million.
Right.
Which at that stage it will get into, it's going to be, it'll be sitting around number 7 or number 8 of the top 10 most expensively funded board games ever on Kickstarter.
Right. Now, I'm going to need the help from our fans on this one. I might actually put something up on our Facebook page about this. I want people that have played the Conan game, which is pretty much the exact same system they use in this. I would like them via Facebook, either by a post or by a message, to get in touch and tell me what they think of the Conan game. Because this Batman game, I'm a massive Batman fan. It is my favourite fictional anything in the world, pretty much. When the game first came out, I said no because of the price. Mm. Then I looked at it a bit more and thought, if it's great, I mean, I don't have kids yet, but I could, this is a game I could play with them for 20 or 30 years. It's got the, you know, it's only coming to Kickstarter. It's not coming to retail at all. It's got every character from this amazing universe, and they're bringing out even more. They've got even the more obscure villains, which are all really, really cool.
Some of the stretch goals. And look, I have got to say, this must have some of the nicest detailed minis I've ever seen in a board game.
But however, there's things like the player boards I don't think look too great. The cards look a little bit generic. And the game, I've watched a playthrough that I think the Dice Tower did, and the game looks all right, but it's not insanely gripping me. Yeah. So I want someone to really push me one way or the other. So please let me know.
Okay. Well, look, we'll hopefully that some people will hit you up for that one, because you know I want to play it, but I'm not going to pay that much. That's
no,
sure.
It's crazy.
But what I have paid for, Chronicles of Crime.
Yes, which I was about to back until you said I backed it and I went, welp.
That's right. It's a co-op game of crime investigating, combining a board game and virtual reality. It is 2,300% funded. It's still got 13 days to go. So what you've got is you've got a crime-solving board game, but you also use an app on your phone. And then it comes with, if you go the deluxe version, it comes with these 3D VR glasses where you basically look around the crime scene and you can find extra clues. I think it's shipping with at least one expansion. There's another couple of expansions that you can add on.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit torn about whether I'm going to add all the expansions or not.
Well,
but
if you don't tell me, because I'll put them on there. Because one of them's a noir thing. I love a bit of noir.
Yeah,
and the other one's a horror movie one. I love a bit of horror movie.
Look, I'm probably going to take the plunge.
And even with the VR stuff, I mean, some people can take that or leave that or whatever else. Even if you put that completely aside, this game looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can play it where you just move your finger around on the screen of your phone without the glasses. But, yeah, it looks really interesting all up.
A storytelling game that has replayability, because the stories are all on the app, so they could, if they support this for years, could have dozens of stories on there. You can use the same cards with different QR. Oh, it's just, it looks awesome.
Well, now, going from some reality that I want to be a part of to some reality maybe not.
Okay.
Our old friends Tingle Touch Games from Sweden. They're back again. They've got the second version of Dare Duel, a creative sex game for two or more players.
Oh, hello.
Now, last time I looked, it was almost 50% funded. This week, in a week, it's only gone up 5%, so they might be struggling to get there. It's 200 krona, which is about $30.
Oh, right.
And look, we've spoken a little bit about these games before. Look, yes, they're not for everyone, but, you know, if you want to spice up your life and you've got a board gaming partner, who knows, you might have a little bit of fun with this. You might also have some fun with Into the Black Boarding Party, where you must breach the airlock, plunder the ship, and survive. It is a semi-co-op semi-co-op space pirate dungeon crawl.
My God.
The company is called I Will Never Grow Up Gaming.
Nice.
It is over 100% funded. It wasn't last week, but it is now. Still got 22 days to go. It's some of our Canadian friends. We know we've got lots of Canadian listeners out there. Thanks to our very good friends of Dice and Men, they have told the whole Northern American world about us. A few of them have come on board and now listening. So let's help out some Canadians.
Yes.
Into the Black Boarding Party.
Hello, Canadians.
$59 and only $17 shipping. So it looks like quite a fun little theme. Definitely worth checking out. Also worth checking out, Robin Hood and His Merry Men by Final Frontier Games. Now, this Mob did Cavern Tavern. They did Rise to Nobility. Oh, I'm losing my voice now. There's so much to talk about. It's a worker placement, hand management, dice rolling, set collection game.
Of course.
Set in the world of Robin Hood, Nottingham, all those sort of things.
Yep.
Again, it's 1,300% funded. Mm. Still got 14 days to go. Euro game with nice art. Looks very Euro.
Yeah.
But has a fun little theme.
Yep.
And it's very popular. Check that one out. Another one, City of Gears, a game of discovery, development, and disruption for prestige and profit. It's a steampunky-themed worker placement game. Really lovely art and beautiful board by our friends, Grey Fox Games, who did London Dread,
yeah.
Deception Murder in Hong Kong, oh, Champions yes. of Midgard.
Yeah, they're smashing
Again,
it.
This one is smashed, like 1,800% funded. It's 49 or 59, depending if you go for the deluxe version with lovely little, like, robot-y worker placement thingies.
Yeah, of course.
$17 shipping.
Sounds reasonable.
Edge of Darkness by AEG. Now, this is the card crafting deck building game by John D. Clare.
Yep.
So this is like the mechanic from Mystic Veil,
yep.
where you've got those acetate-type bits of cards that stack up together,
mm-hmm.
but just making a sort of a... Well, hopefully, a fully formed game with that mechanic, which I'm... Look, I enjoyed Mystic Veil, but it just it was like a third of the game.
The mechanic was cool. It needs a really cool yeah. game to wrap around.
Yeah. So this one is 600% funded, still 15 days to go. It's got a basic and a deluxe version, 60 for the basic, 100 for the deluxe. It's about $25 shipping to Australia, but I'm intrigued by it. I sort of want it to be successful because I'd like to see that concept work.
Yep.
One that grabbed my attention today, Cartel, a Mexican narco-fiction tabletop role-playing game. Not only is it about drug cartels in Mexico, but you don't play the kingpins
right.
or the heads of crime families. You play ordinary citizens who are somehow caught up in this world of narcotics in Mexico. So you might be a drug mule, you might be a naive spouse or a woman of the night or a dirty cop or something.
So it's the Mexican equivalent of a Breaking Bad RPG, kind of.
It sort of sounds like
Which
that,
surely
actually.
There's a Breaking Bad RPG out there.
There's a board game.
Yeah, there is.
But yeah, this could certainly be. And in fact, the company that makes this, I didn't make a note of their name, but they are from Albuquerque, New Mexico,
hey.
Which is, of course, where Breaking Bad was set.
Indeed.
This one, they're well and truly funded, so they're only going for $6,000. They've made 21. It's a longer campaign, so they've got 38 days to go. And it's only $10 US
yep.
for the PDF of the core book.
Yeah, nice.
Or they've got about four other PDF resources. You can get them all for $20. Or $50 gets you the hardcover core book.
Yeah.
And then all PDFs. That look, to me... Just looks like something that I haven't seen in a role-playing game before, so I'm quite curious.
I wish Dungeons & Dragons would do that, because their books are lovely and their PDFs are about the same price for next to no
Very
reason
strange.
Whatsoever.
Look, one more I've backed.
Yep.
Self-standing leather-look dice bags.
Okay.
Garth was just saying to me, I've got a knitted dice bag.
Yes.
And it's starting to get holes in it. So I need a new dice bag, and I saw this on Kickstarter. They're calling it leather light.
Mm.
So it's a leather looking material, even though it's not leather. And they've got a big broad base. So they sit, they've got locking bits on the top. They've got lots of designs and they're unlocking more during the stretch goals. They're only going for $1,000. They've made over 13,000. Still got 24 days to go. $19
yep.
for the dice bag.
Sure.
$14 for shipping, but yeah. if Garth gets one and you get one...
I'm considering, I looked at them.
It's only $21 to ship all three of them.
I think we might have to just yeah. do that.
And look, the last thing, I was going to mention this one last week. It was called Ultimate Conspiracy, the Amazing Investigations game.
Mm-hmm.
And I teased that it was like Seven Wonders, but not Seven Wonders, like the Seventh Continent,
yep.
but in a sort of a metropolitan... noirish setting.
Interesting.
And this game had already raised about 60% funding in the first day.
Lovely.
But there was super lack of detail in the campaign.
Eh.
No videos of gameplay, no rules or anything. And there was a lot of questions being asked.
Yep.
Interesting, this one was cancelled the day after our show.
Yeah.
Another person who's maybe listened to us, I don't know. Look, I'm really curious to see it come back because it does look fascinating.
It's a good idea.
But it's a great thing that I think they've pulled it to go away and come back even stronger.
Yep. And that's it. You can take a breath now, Mark. But I'll tell you what, next week, I reckon there's going to be another Kickstarter update because there's like three games at the top of the popularity at the moment that we didn't even talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
A new one I found before we walked in the studio, but either way, it's crazy. So we are out of here for another week. Thank you very much for joining us. But remember that competition. Get in your entries. We want to play games with you at BorderCon, and also catch us on the Facebook, the Instagrams, all that kind of stuff. Please come and say hello. We will happily chat to you.
Thank you so much for joining us for another week here in the Diceman Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We will see you next week. Bye.
See you, mate.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support The Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.